Good morning. This is Henry Harris. It is Thursday, October 3rd, and it is time for another weekly Emunah call. Today's topic is what I have learned about pain. That's what this topic is. This week's topic is what I have learned about pain. And to begin, we'll review. We're here to explore the truth. That sounds a little bit grandiose as I hear myself, but we're attempting to explore a truth that's bigger than us and that includes us. And as I understand it, this is a mitzvah. This is a commandment of seeking to understand and know what Emunah is, what the reality of the world is. God has created a world. He's maintaining this world, he's operating this world, he's supervising this world, and our inquiry into how he does that, what is the underlying truth behind that, that is a mitzvah. It is a beautiful and noble undertaking to seek that knowledge. It is itself the fulfillment of a commandment, and it represents a singular importance in the life of every human being, and certainly every Jew. As the Rambam says in his introduction, the first line of his 14-volume work summarizing all of Jewish thought and law, he says, "Yesod ha-yesodos va'omur ha-chokhma leida she'yesham matzui rishon." The foundation of all foundations and the pillar of all wisdom is to know that there is a first cause, as a first reality, meaning a reality that is that precedes this world of form. That is the foundation of all foundations. Now, what that image conjures in my mind is the idea of a foundation of a building. I mean, you need stability. A person cannot build in his life. He cannot build as an individual, as a party to a relationship, as a worker in any endeavor. In any endeavor, to the degree that there is an experience of lack of stability, you can't build. How can you build? How in the world could you undertake to build even something so simple as, you know, a bunch of tinker toys if the surface upon which you're building is kind of moving around, you know, if it's subject to instability? Well, to me, the metaphor that the Rambam is using, the foundation of all foundations, is to know that there is this first reality, is suggesting that there is no stability. There is no possibility of stability without this understanding, and it is upon us to pursue it. It is upon us to seek it, to want it, to investigate it, to open with an open heart to kind of explore and undertake it. And of course, results, like in anything, are not in our hands. You know, we're not in the results business in this world. We're in the effort business, in the seeking business, in the exertion business. But even our exertion and our seeking, it's best accomplished. It's most appropriate and most truthful when we do our truth and our seeking and our exertion with an understanding of truth. So that's what we're doing. We're seeking to clarify what are the kind of underlying truths associated with this world, this psychological, and in particular the psychological experience. I've been learning about this idea that a pilot is subject to something called spatial disorientation. What is that? What is a spatial disorientation that a pilot flying a plane? If he enters into a cloud bank and he doesn't have the ability to correlate his position relative to kind of, you know, things of this world, the ground, or, you know, all he sees is clouds before him. Other circumstances, he could become disoriented and he can lose his ability to sense what is kind of horizontal, what's vertical, left, right, etc. And there's a great danger, because his internal kind of hush, his internal perceptions become unreliable. He's feeling them, they're talking, they're kind of present in his experience, but at the same time that they're kind of presenting him with a perception, a sensation, they're also not reliable. Now, what's amazing is that a pilot has to know of the possibility of spatial disorientation. Does that mean he should not rely on his perceptions and his sense as to where and how he's flying? Of course not. He must rely on his perception. How else can he navigate? On the other hand, he must know that it built into his experience of flying is the possibility that his perception is not reliable, and that he can come to have a sense of that as well. So we're kind of looking at that. To me, that's fascinating. You know, the idea that I'm having a rich and very, very meaningful felt experience of life. Life is kind of showing up inside my heart and mind in a way that I'm having a rich feeling experience, lots of, you know, wonder and happiness and pleasure and frustration and distress and all kinds of feelings. And what I want to do in order to navigate my life, like the pilot, is I want to know how to read how do I read my kind of experience as a pilot. And to know, part of being a good pilot is to know the limits of my perception, the times when my perception is reliable and the time where my perception is not reliable. And that's kind of, to me, a beautiful metaphor for understanding, you know, what we're talking about. Built into stability, built into a kind of what I mentioned earlier, Yesod HaYesodos, the foundation of all foundations, knowing there's a first reality. Built into that knowledge is the awareness that I can experience instability and yet the world is a stable place. I can experience a kind of distressing and unsettled experience where I feel unstable and yet recognize, no, there is actual stability. Just like the pilot. The pilot can, it can look and feel to him like he is going one way, and yet, you know, like it's just so compelling to him. And yet he can know about that experience that his perception is not reliable in the moment, and yet that doesn't mean that there isn't access to a reliable perception. Right? So he can look at the basic idea of a pilot is that he would look at the control panel on his, he would look at the alt, I don't know the terms, I don't know the words, but there's like an altitude thing and there's a velocity thing and there's different ways that he can look at kind of things beyond him to get a feel for how reliable his perceptions are. You know, that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to gain a connection to understanding that's bigger than our moment-to-moment feeling. We have moment-to-moment feelings. Sometimes those moments, they're always valuable data. They're always valuable data, but part of having those experiences, those feelings, those data is to know how to read them. And that's, to me, what I think the Rambam is pointing to or hinting at in the foundation of our foundations is to know, because life is subject to instability. I experience it. I experience a whole host of feelings that are difficult at times, wondrous at times, and they seem very much correlated to circumstances, to people, you know, to my nature or my, you know, things about me. Like there seem to be things that I can read in the world that are like just so reliably, you know, troubling or distressing. And what I'm coming to appreciate more and more is that Emuna is pointing to an awareness of a truth that's bigger than my perception. I can sense the truth beyond my perception, even as I honor my perception, even as I don't deny my perception, but I understand how my perception exists in a world that is being created moment to moment to moment. And there's freedom in that. There's tremendous freedom in that. And it's a tremendous path to wisdom. So that's my slightly different intro to this week's talk. And now I want to talk a little bit about the topic of what I've learned from pain. And I want to introduce this idea of what this week's topic, what I've learned from pain, with a suggestion that I'm really looking not to share kind of a technique or a step to take. I'm really looking to describe an inner experience that I've seen, I've participated in, but the meaningfulness of it has been more what I've watched unfold. And then, again, I participated in it, and I've made choices in the way along the way. But it was clear to me that I was making choices alongside something that was not me, you know, something that was showing up that was not me, and there was something very liberating about that. So here's what I want to say. My experience with pain is that it's just so natural to kind of have an instantaneous dislike of pain, to have an instantaneous kind of judgment about the, like, this is not good, you know, I don't want this, I want out of here. You know, like, that's how I would describe it. There's something wrong. Like alarm flashing, you know, there's the perception, the feeling of pain, but then there's like an additional judgment that goes along with this. Now, this is not always noticeable to me. And I see that it's true in others as well. It's not always noticeable to us that we have a feeling experience, we have a pain feeling experience, but then often it's, you know, it's so human that in addition to the feeling of pain that we're having, there's this kind of not fully visible sense of like alarm flashing lights, you know, bah, bah, this is wrong, danger, you know, get out of here, fix this, run away, hide, blame. There's something about the pain that feels just unacceptable. And I guess, you know, what I've seen about this understanding, the principles, the way I talk about Emunah, is that at the root of it can look like what we're talking about. People who teach the principles of innate health, or when I'm talking about, you know, Emunah and the inside out understanding of Emunah, it can look and feel to me that, and I'm speaking about myself, even as I value and love the understanding that we're talking about here, it can still look and feel to me like I'm approaching it with the aim to fix something. You know, the understanding of Emunah as a way to fix something, a way to hide, to run away from or get away from a painful feeling. And you know, what I've noticed is that I kind of can toggle back and forth between the appreciation about the truth about feelings in the moment, you know, the deeper wisdom and truth about feelings, that feelings are, you know, there's something neutral, there's something innocent about that, it's not really coming from the outside, and it's not coming from the person in my life or the circumstances of my life. There's a neutral innocence to those experiences, and my pain is divine energy, you know. There's a beautiful wisdom and kind of simple logic to that. At the same time, there are times where I see that I don't gain from that. My pain feels intolerable, and that the process of looking for the truth about my pain can feel kind of like it can feel the opposite of empathy. You know, there are times where I see that when I'm in pain, I don't know how to settle down. I don't know how to get out of a judgment about the pain. I'm in pain and I'm really upset that I'm in pain. You know, that's where I sense my struggle arises. But I don't know how to stop struggling. I don't know. I know enough to know that struggle, there's pain and then there's struggle. The pain doesn't necessitate struggle. I've experienced that. I've seen that a person can have pain and yet know something about it in a way that it doesn't require struggle. On the other hand, there are times where I don't know how to get out of the struggle. I'm in pain and I'm judging and I'm upset and I'm trying to get out of it, and and I'm in this struggle, and I'm in the struggle, and I don't know how to stop the struggle. And no amount of the logic of reviewing the logic of this wisdom kind of gets me out of the struggle. You know, it doesn't help. And in those moments, there are times where I come to question, like, what am I doing to myself? I'm trying to tell myself that look for the truth, look for the logic, but it just feels like it can feel the opposite of empathy. You know, there are times where I see it very clearly with people who come to speak to me, or my children, or my wife. You know, there are times where there's no value in trying to point to the truth in someone's pain. The person is in pain. They're struggling inside their pain, and it feels so real to them that to talk to them about the truth about their pain is not kind. You know, it can feel invalidating. You know, it can just feel invalidating. It doesn't mean that I guess what I'm sharing is that there is the possibility of, like, there are times where I wonder, like, if someone is struggling and they're in pain, what can I do for them? I can't fix them. I can't share logic with them. I don't want to share logic with them. I want to be accepting. In the same way that they're lacking acceptance of their pain, I don't want to in any way communicate, well, let's get you out of this pain, as if there is something not right or unacceptable about the pain. The whole thing I'm pointing to right now is clearly something that doesn't lend itself to a simple kind of logic. I'm describing an inner experience. I'm really sharing with you an inner experience that I don't know how to put into words. I'm just trying the best I know to point to the fact that there are times where no knowledge or no logic of this wisdom is helpful, other than it just, there's no way to kind of extract myself or another person from the struggle. And kind of, you know, like I'm just kind of thrashing about in a feeling of pain and struggle with the pain. And like I said, it can feel that the logic to me is like, well, this is no good, you know, like I'm in pain and you're trying to tell me that the nature of my pain is based on a misunderstanding. Well, I don't want to hear that right now. You know, it doesn't help me. Like, it just feels like it's almost like adding to the kind of, you know, it almost has this feeling of like it augments the sense of struggle judgment that I'm standing in. No, of course it's not true. You know, the struggle judgment that I'm standing in is an experience of a contraction. There is a quality of being in a contraction that is beyond us. It is a power and a force that is bigger than us, and we become subject to it. And the best that I see I can hope to do in those moments is to look to the truth without looking to kind of get myself out of the truth. Get myself out of my feeling with the truth. The best I can hope to do is to value the truth without looking to this as a truth technique, you know. And so sometimes I'll become dissatisfied. Like, what is this logic helping me? What is this understanding helping me? I need validation. You know, that's what I need. Is that true? Not really. It's not true. It's not a bad thing to have validation, you know. It's actually quite nice. It's quite helpful. It's quite a kindness to offer someone empathy and validation. Now, there's a risk. There is a risk involved in validating pain and kind of, you know, looking to acknowledge pain. There's always a risk that at a certain point a person can come to kind of camp out in pain. Like, yep, this is who I am, and I've been a victim. You know, I'm a victim. And there can be something that feels comforting about that. I think real empathy does not involve camping out. You know, I'm not against empathy. I'm for empathy. You know, I'm for validation. I guess what I'm sharing with you is that I don't know how to offer any logic or any wisdom that is a cure for pain. All I can see is that pain is something that is part of this world. It's part of the life that the Almighty has created. That there's times where we struggle with pain. We don't know how to cease or stop the struggle. I know enough to know that struggle is a result of misunderstanding. And yet I've also come to appreciate that I don't have the power to extract myself from misunderstanding. I can be in the misunderstanding. I can be in the misunderstanding with the best acceptance I know to offer. And I also see enough to know that misunderstanding doesn't last. Like, it moves. I don't always live in misunderstanding. My experience is moving. I find myself in misunderstanding in the same way that a woman giving birth finds herself in a contraction. But the contractions don't last, and they don't last forever. And they're part of a process that's way bigger than her, that's extraordinarily beautiful. You know, that's the most I can offer, is that there are times where I find that as deeply moved as I've been in experiencing divine blessing and divine insight, there is no logic to describe that insight. There's no way to retain that insight that insulates me from another round of pain and even struggle, right? I don't know how to bottle it. I do see that something is, I'm seeing new things and I'm gaining, and the Almighty is guiding me. There's no question I see that pain is a part of his world. I have no mastery over it. It's not something I've gained mastery of, even though I've seen that on many occasions I've gone into pain and then moved beyond pain, and that on many occasions I truly feel that I've been the recipient of, like, a childbirth, you know, like Iker told the Sehim, shel Adam, shel Tzadikim Masim Tovim, the main children of a person in this world are his good actions. That I'm really on board with the idea that I'm giving birth ongoingly. Everybody is. And I've seen beautiful things be born that can only be accounted to divine intervention. And yet, no matter how many times I give birth, I will not be able to prevent new contractions and new pain and new moments of struggle and feeling out of control in those experiences of pain. I have yet to see that I can, kind of be the master of this process. And on a certain level, I'm gaining acceptance of that. You know, I'm finding peace in the fact that I'm not in control. And the fact that I feel frustrated, you know, like, I'm always touched by the fact, I guess, when I mentioned earlier, you know, there feels to me at times like a lack of empathy, like something's missing from this approach, from this understanding. Like, hello, when someone's in pain, they don't want to hear about the truth behind their pain. They're in pain, you know, and there's nothing I can seem to do for myself. No one can do for me in those moments of struggle. And, it's like built into that is a feeling of complaint. Built into that is a feeling of protest. Like, I don't, you know, like, this is bad. My knowledge, my understanding, whatever track record I've had of insights, what does it help me? Now I'm in pain and I don't know how to get out of it and I don't like it. It reminds me of the fact that going back to the metaphor of the woman giving birth, the Talmud says a fascinating thing about every woman who gives birth, that every woman who gives birth brings a chatas, brings an offering associated with transgression. Now, why in the world should a woman who gives birth be obligated to bring an offering associated with a transgression? You know, like, it sounds like, what did she do already? She gave birth. You know, that's a beautiful thing. Well, what wrongdoing is she guilty of that she brings a transgression offering? And the Talmud explains that in the moment of her intense pain, there's a part of her that says, I reject this whole process. Like, I hereby declare myself unavailable to my husband going future, because if it weren't for him and it weren't for the labor and delivery process that comes from marriage, I wouldn't be here having this pain. And I blame him, and I blame marriage, and I want out, right? Like, there's this kind of moment of, like, I reject this whole thing. I reject it. I want out. And that is psychological experience is a mistake. Does it mean that she's bad? No. It points to kind of the universal quality that human beings become fooled. All of us are giving birth, and all of us at a certain point in the process of giving birth come to resent the process as if, hello, I should have some way to get myself liberated from this, and I can't, and therefore there's obviously something wrong. There's something wrong with the process. Something wrong with the marriage experience. There's something ultimately wrong with God. God would not create a world where this pain works like this if he were truly kind, if he were truly loving, if he were truly a good and just God. And I hereby reject it. You know, that's the internal kind of deep feeling that goes along with what the Talmud says is every yoledis. It doesn't mean that she's blameworthy in the sense that she's a transgressor. It's just pointing to the kind of, to me, the universal nature of human beings to come to misunderstand their experience and to resent their experience, no matter how much they've learned in the past, no matter how much logic and wisdom they have. There will be moments where they struggle, where nothing satisfies them. They will feel like, no good. You know, I want out. And I guess that's what I want to share about what I've learned about pain, is that, you know, hello, I need empathy. I don't want logic. I don't want wisdom. I don't want truth. I need somebody to validate my pain and thereby alleviate it. And I recommend that. You know, I recommend having people to talk to, people who can listen, people whom you can share your pain with wisdom, you know, who can listen to and understand the truth about your pain and still respect that it hurts. It hurts. It's painful. It doesn't feel good to be stuck. Who can listen with real empathy and at the same time, you know, have some understanding about the truth without invalidating in any way the pain. So that's what I want to share. That's my, you know, that's something that I've learned about pain. I'm going to stop the recording.